Before we share, I want us to take this hymn, even in reference to that the Lord God himself did for us over 2,000 years ago. The title of the hymn is a popular one that we all know, the Old Rugged Cross. Even as we take this hymn, I want us to be in tune and in connection with Jesus. I want us to begin to see how big our God is, how loving our God is, and the Lord who asked us to sing it unto him this morning, we bless you and my very self in Jesus' name. That old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love the old cross where the dearest and best, for the word of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the rugged cross, and it's the things of people are crying. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. His shame and rich flows blood. There he comes someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I share. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old our Father, we are grateful. We have come to say thank you for that cross. We have come to say thank you for that divine provision that you made for us. Even that on a day like this, the world is celebrating it. We say thank you because for us, it is a symbol of our new life. Thank you. For us, it is a provision for our redemption. We say thank you. Lord, even as we go to share briefly about this, I ask of you, my Father in heaven, may the depth of love that you have for us through this be revealed even to someone here this morning. And for those that already know it, help us to cling to this, that even on the last day, we may receive our crown. Blessed be your name, my Father. In the name of Jesus, King of glory, I ask of you that your spirit take over our heart now, even for these few minutes, to enlighten our heart to see that indeed you love the whole world and you gave your son for it, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. Briefly, I want to share with us the word of God and what has been laid in my heart, even when I know I was going to take this message. And the title is, Jesus, thank you for the cross. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Let's quickly read our scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read in verses 14 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. And I am reading from the New Living Translation. If you read other translations, this might be a little different in the way they put it together. But I think this one captured what we want to speak about. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Hallelujah. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' mighty name. I say thank you for the cross. I don't know what the cross represents to you, but I do know in our world today, people have different meanings to it. To some, it is a cross of reproach. To some, it is a cross of suffering. To some, they think it is what they should still be carrying about today, to replicate what happened 2,000 years ago. Some even think when they built that cross, they carried it through the street. They made themselves to appear as if they were Jesus. They are representing him. But I ask you this morning, even as you are hearing my own voice, what does that cross mean to you? What do you see in it? And that was why Paul was encouraging the Corinthian church, even in his day. I want to believe the Holy Spirit knows that people will have different meanings to what the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ represents. So Paul was admonishing the Corinthians of his day that come, you Corinthians, like I'm admonishing us Jesus Palace this morning, come, let us see what the Lord is saying through the cross. So that when we know it, we're able to give him thanks, even for that event, that divine event. So when you read the account of Paul to the Corinthians here, we see that Paul was trying to encourage them to let them know all that we are doing as servants of God, all that myself and my colleagues are doing to bring Jesus Christ to you to have knowledge of him is because of his depth of love, the depth of love that God is having for the whole world. And that was why Paul told them in that verse 14. He said, the love of God has constrained us to do this. It is the love of God for us that has constrained him to have sent his son, even to have gone through that gruesome death for yourself and myself. But like I said earlier, what interpretation are people giving to that depth of love today? We all know that people have different meanings to read. And Paul told them, we have come to know that Christ died for all. And why was Christ going through all of this pain? Why was Christ coming in his glory as human to go through this insult, through this intimidation? Simply because he wants us to come back to his Father. So Paul was motivated in his spirit and bold enough to tell the Corinthians, unless you have come to understand what the cross actually represents, you will be giving it a kind of misinterpretation. And when I was going through this, my mind was just racing all over with what is happening in our world today. That we of all, with all of most people, have their own meaning of what the cross represents. And that was why, unless you have come to understand it from the spirit realm, we might equally be making a mistake to think it is carrying the rugged cross around, it is putting the rugged cross on your chest, make you to believe in what it represents. Even some will go ahead to even tattoo it on their hand or their body. My brothers and sisters, I want to believe none of us fall into this category, but if you do, I want you to have a different meaning to read today. And so Paul told them, I have had this encounter too. From human perspective, before now, Paul did not even understand what the cross meant. Because we knew his account of how he was persecuting the church before he got converted. But when the reality and the meaning of the cross came true for him, his life was transformed. And he was bringing that same message to the Corinthians. You must understand what this cross represents. This death and resurrection, you must understand what it represents. Outside of that, you'll be playing religion, even like many are doing today. And that was why Maybe when you go on your television now, you might see people thinking they are representing Jesus. They carry the bulky wood. They beat themselves. Some even make movies out of it. I would say, well, they are trying to make some money out of it. Well, that's fine for them. But beyond all of this, brethren, I am asking you as seated, listening to me, or even listening through the internet, what does the cross represent to you? That's why we quickly look at it. When you look at verses 14 to 16 of the passage we read, we discover that the cross, or the message of the cross, is speaking to us on the transformation concerning our attitude. Transformation concerning our attitude. And when you look at verses 17 to 18, you discover that this one is speaking about transformation concerning our actions. When you look at it, verses 14 to 16 is talking about our inward change, while verses 17 to 18 is talking about our outward change. Sorry, the other way. 17, 18 is talking about our inward change, while 14 to 16 is talking about our outward change. Well, regardless of what you might think this passage is talking about, it is for us to know that we need to thank Jesus for the cross. And therefore, let's quickly look at those things that this passage is speaking to us. In verse 17, which is a popular passage of the scripture that we all know, even those that does not believe the scripture, they know it. 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So the cross was given to us that we may know, if we embrace it, if we cling to it, all the past will be gone. Every sin of the flesh that most people rejoice in, celebrate in, will be a thing that you will know you cannot continue to dwell on or to do. Because you will come to understand that someone has paid the price for your sin on that rugged cross. And we all know this. If truly you have seen the old being gone, being nailed to the cross, you will know that everything will begin to turn anew. And this is why you will know that your old value systems are things you will no longer cling to. This is why you will know that your priorities now will be for Christ. This is why you will know that your heart that was filled with evil intention before now is now filled with things that edify, the things that give glory to God. So all things were passed away, even on that cross. And when you look at B part of it, he said, behold, all things have become new. It is through that cross that we can all claim the newness of life we are talking about. I can imagine if Jesus had not come, We won't even be talking to ourselves like this. I can imagine even when he came and he said, when you destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. To those of them that are having human mind then, they thought Jesus Christ was talking about a physical building. They didn't know he was talking to them about his body that was going to be crushed on that cross, but that on the third day, that same body that you crushed will be alive. Hallelujah. Brother, I want you to just imagine that. What if that had not happened? There would have been a new life unto yourself, myself, and as many that are in Christ now. Isn't it wonderful for us to be thanking Jesus for that rugged cross? Brethren, when you go further to verse 18, he was continuing his admonition. He made them to understand that all things are of God. All things are of God. What do you have? What are you intending to have? If you don't see them as things that are of God, when you don't have them, you might be so disappointed. But when you see them that all things are of God, whether you have been given, you have not been given, your heart will always rejoice in Christ Jesus. That was why he told them that I have come to know that all things are in God, and that this understanding has brought me to understand the fact that it is about reconciliation of the whole world to God. It is about our responsibility thereafter. And when we are talking of reconciliation, it is you embracing the cross, knowing why it became a signpost of our salvation and redemption. And having known this, you want that message to go to others, which bring us onto the point of responsibility. And that was why he went to say in verse 20, that if you come to this understanding of these two concepts of reconciliation and responsibility, it is then you become Christ ambassador. Then the cross become more meaningful divinely to you. Is somebody getting something here this morning, brethren? That the cross, for us, it is no longer an emblem of shame or reproach. It is an emblem of a new life. A new life in God. A new life to reconcile others to Him. A new life to truly be Christ's ambassador. Will you be one this morning? Are you one already? If you are not, I want to give you that opportunity. The Lord Jesus, I'm having a better understanding of what the cross is all about. That all things must pass away, all things must become new. That this is why you went on that cross, that you can reconcile me to yourself, because you have made your son to pay for my sin. I want you to bow your head wherever you are, worldwide, and pray that prayer of, and say, Jesus, thank you for the cross. Here I am this morning, please bring me back to your Father. Forgive me of my sin. And if you are still reveling in your sins that you thought you have given to Him, pray to Him now and say, Father, please help me to do away with it. I don't want that you did for me on the cross to be a waste. Let those individuals pray from the depth of their heart, because you must enjoy that newness. You need to understand what it means, even hereafter. And above all, it's even beyond here on earth. We are talking about eternity. Yes, Lord, as many that are saying, Lord, we want to be reconciled to you, my Father, please forgive them. And as many that are reconciled, Father, even the responsibility thereof, let that become what we will run with in the name of Jesus, because we have come to know that indeed it is out of the depth of your love that you send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. And we say thank you. Receive our praises in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Church, I want us to pray for those that are redeemed of the Lord in your home. I want you to say thank you, Jesus, in your own way. I don't know what you are thanking him for, but you know that you owe him a word of thanks. Just do that now. Say, Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the redemption of my soul. I thank you for you came, even in human form, to experience some of the pains I've experienced, to strengthen me in some of the times that I am weak. I say thank you for enduring that was done unto you on the cross. After all, you have the power to have reversed everything just by speaking just one word. But rather you say, not even your own will, but the will of your Father be done. An endurance that has brought life unto me, I say thank you. Receive my praises, Lord. Thank you, because I know this is even bringing life unto someone now. Be exalted, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please, church, I want you to join me to pray that as many worldwide that are having wrong understanding of what the cross represents, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will go forth this morning and deliver them. Let us pray that they will begin to see the essence of the cross in the realm of reconciliation and responsibility, even unto God. That as many that are having wrong understanding of what the cross represents, thinking that if they have it as a tattoo on their body, they are saved, thinking that if they carry a piece of metal as a cross, it brings safety to them. I pray this morning, we pray this morning as a church, even as we join our faith together, that Lord God, you go and deliver them. That what you came to represent in the realm of reconciling us to your Father and giving us the responsibility of sharing the gospel will be real to these individuals. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Our Father, we are grateful for yet another opportunity to celebrate the essence of your death and resurrection. Thank you, because we have come to understand it to be the pain of the debt for our sin and bringing us back to your Father. I pray for as many of us who are in you. May we continue to hold on to you. May we continue to run with you, not losing the focus of the eternity you are going to prepare for us. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Again, happy Easter.